The U.S. national team has been organized since 1916, but American soccer players haven't always seen success like today's thrilling victory over Mexico. Officially, America's best finish was in 1930 when the team tied for third. But soccer historian Dave Wasser discounts that inaugural World Cup because many of the best teams weren't there and most of the U.S. players weren't Americans.
The USA team featured a bunch of players who really weren't Americans. They were players who had come to the United States to play in a popular league in the 1920s called the American Soccer League. And the USA did fairly well.
But the big moment was 1950.
1950, yeah, that was the big moment. It was the first World Cup in 12 years, obviously because of the war. There hadn't been World Cups in the prior cycles. The 1950 USA team is just a fascinating story. I mean, it was a bunch of semi-pro athletes. I think there was only one full-time professional athlete on that team. The rest were, people who worked at regular jobs during the week and played for a soccer team on the weekend, usually making maybe $5, $15, $20 for their effort on a weekend. Harry Keough was one of the players on that team. He was a mailman. Joe Macca was a wallpaper stripper. Joe Gatchens, the man who scored the winning goal in our big victory over England in that tournament, was a dishwasher. That game is the game that I just referred to, in which the USA beat probably the best team in the world, England, 1-0. It really was a remarkable match. The USA was a huge, huge underdog. The English came in, pretty overconfident. As a matter of fact, the best English player was a fellow named Stanley Matthews, and he was rested for that game because the English didn't even feel they needed him. The sad part about it is that the match was not filmed. So the guys who played on that team, U.S. team, spent 90 minutes playing in the match, and they spent the last 50 years explaining to people that the match was not saved on film, and so nobody gets to watch it. It's kind of a shame.
And that one game was just about it for a generation.
It was, because the USA wasn't really producing quality soccer players. We didn't have the infrastructure in place to do so. Part of the problem for many years in this country was that when young people wanted to play soccer, they were being coached by adults who had not played the game themselves or didn't really have a great background in the game. I know when Franz Beckenbauer came to this country in the late 1970s when he played for the New York Cosmos, that was one of the things he said. He said, if the USA wants to be a world power in soccer, you've got to bring in good coaches. And fortunately, that has happened.
Well, it started paying off in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, it really did. After 1966, when the World Cup was broadcast in this country, people started to take interest in it. In the 1970s, there were a few moments of brilliance. I mean, we beat Poland, one of the world powers, in 1973. In the 1980s, you started to see some of the players who played some of the Americans who played in the NASL started to come onto the national team. And of course, in 1989, we qualified for the first World Cup since 1950. It had been such a dead time for so many years, such futility for really going on four decades, and we finally made it into the World Cup.
Well, the last two cups were...
we've been in the last, actually, that's four. I mean, 1994, we qualified automatically because we hosted the tournament. In 1998, we qualified, but then we crashed out of the tournament. This year, we've done much better. So often with these things in life, you can sort of say that there's three steps forward, two steps back. The progression and quality of the U.S. national team isn't going to be this linear ascent upwards, and it'll be a bumpy road. And I think that it's going to be that way. It's inevitably going to be that way. And I think the future is bright for soccer in this country.
Well, it's a different attitude now. I mean, the U.S. is a long way off yet, but it expects to get there.
Yeah, it does. And one of the things about international soccer, which is great fun, is that there is a good deal of parity. I mean, there isn't one team which dominates the world. I mean, there are a few countries which consistently do well, like Brazil and Germany and Argentina. But as you saw in this tournament, two of the tournament favorites, France and Argentina, crashed out in the first round. So it shows that there's a good deal of parity, and that means that there's room at the top for the United States. There's certainly the possibility that, we could win the World Cup within 10 or 20 years. It's not going to happen this year. Well, who knows? Maybe it will, but I don't think it will.
Soccer historian Dave Wasser.